Body problem.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
It's a three-body problem. And now that the sun has turned off, the aliens can land. And next episode, we'll find out who they really are.
It's a stable three-body problem, but there's still some inherent uncertainty, right?
Yeah, there is.
There's also a black
body
problem.
There's no uncertainty as to our radio station, except when it's not broadcasting.
You know. Let's not throw shade.
That radio station known as WGXE 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's not in Hudson anymore.
We have a presence in Hudson.
A radio presence.
You can hear it in Hudson. You can hear it in Ankrumdale.
Well, a presence was promised through various pop-up thingy-bobs and whatnot.
But there's a new studio on Main Street, right?
Yes, that's right.
Catskill. So I think of it as the Acre-Catskill axis. And Hudson is kind of, you know, like fading away into its self-serving cultural identity.
Don't go and badmouth them unless you have something to back it up with.
Well, I'm from Columbia County, so I know Hudson well. It's the it's the county seat. Actually, Hudson's small. You know, it's really a tiny little
for a city.
Yeah,
for a city. For a city, it's small. Yeah.
Yeah, it is tiny.
It's provincial yet somehow.
The seat.
Fill it in.
It does have the courthouse. So there. That's important.
Yes.
I like this side. I like Greene County.
It's all the same to me.
Well, no, this is the Catskill side. Greg is from New Jersey. That's the New Jersey side of New York.
I feel like I'm from downtown New York. We spent a lot of time in the East Village, and then my wife's brother became mayor of a town in New Jersey, and we just couldn't get, you know, Sarah comes from a big family. We could not get people to come into New York to help with the kids, and then we moved to New Jersey, and Sarah's mother and brother and sister and everybody are right around, and the kids could grow up with their cousins. So it was like a temporary vacation from New York, and now I'm back, baby.
Yeah, he's back.
Not quite, right?
Brooklyn North. I'm back, baby.
All right.
He's back into Cairo, which is how you pronounce it. If you don't want to be beaten up.
Oh yeah, did you know that when you came here that it was pronounced Cairo?
I made a terrible mistake, and they kept saying like the syrup.
What? Oh right, Cairo syrup. Yeah.
Oh God, no!
A pneumatic device.
Huh?
A pneumatic device to help you remember.
He means mnemonic.
Mnemonic?
Oh.
Well, that helps.
Well, pneumatic.
Pneumatic helps me remember mnemonic. and Cairo syrup helps me remember Cairo, mnemonic. New York.
You mean Cairo, New York?
Well, whatever. You know, I'm just,
Oh, go back to validity.
I'm just using little mental tricks. when you hit a certain point in your life, you cannot remember things that were right at the tip of your tongue at an earlier point. So, any pneumatic, Cairo, I'll take it whatever I can get.
Don't feel bad, Tom. Since they legalized weed, you're in good company.
Oh God.
Hey, they're the DEA is
rescheduling.
Yeah, rescheduling.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But good.
Good.
Yay! Cannabis.
They're still keeping it within a drug they can.
Heroin. Finally.
Finally. Yeah.
You guys are insane.
Devil weed.
You guys are devil weed.
Ironically, cannabis has never been in a more modified and concentrated state.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Purified.
How?
It ain't your daddy or your granddaddy's weed anymore.
Nope.
I remember when this was taking off in California. I had a friend in Bolinas, and they were running experiments with cloning, and of course they no longer needed the male plant. I mean, that's an interesting step up from you know, my earlier days, it was, oh, you want pollination, right? You want, you know, no. We're just going to splice together the richest one until it gets richer and richer and richer, and it was dripping.
Well, for them, it also, having pollination happen,
that process
interferes with the harvest.
That process yields. Requires pollination.
Which one?
Clone. The one Tom just described.
Oh. Yeah.
Evolving any strain.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were running these experiments. They were greenhouses. This is Bolinas, California, north of San Francisco. And I went out to visit a friend, and they had made the road so inhospitable for traffic that you really couldn't have the police descend on them without sufficient warning, I guess. I don't know what measures they were going to take.
You're going to hear them coming down the road for a while.
I wrecked the car that I drove up, and I was going slow. So,
all right.
So prepare your car when you have... Get your suspension checked when you're going to Northern California. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, if you're going, well, now it's not an issue, but back in then they were operating in the shadows of the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a reason you want a road like that.
I mean, you know, what motivates scientific development but some kind of obstacle created by the legislative system?
Just an obstacle created by reality itself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure that's a driving force.
Well, I mean, people wanted a way to process.
I don't know. They invented the wheel so they could run away faster.
Have you guys ever watched things? Have you guys ever watched Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia?
No, never even heard of it.
Oh, it's a great show. It's every episode he goes into, you know, a different drug, the history of it, interviews people. You know, like chemists, or in the case of like indigenous drugs like psilocybin, he goes to the countries where they're used by the people. Really fascinating. I don't know how he gets around, you know, the legal requirements of
whatever's okay in that country is okay in that country. I bet he's done a bunch of ayahuasca.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you can just go to Peru and do it with shamans. They pay him money and they let you do it. Yeah. And it's not illegal because he's not doing it in the United States.
Well, no, he did do a number of episodes in the United States.
Psilocybin today, you can buy stuff off the internet.
He was pretending.
Well, today there's a couple of places it's legal, like, but I'm sure that wasn't the case.
Look, he was pretending.
There's a lot of
swallow. Just like Bill Clinton.
I didn't inhale. What are the most pathetic statements ever uttered by a human being? I didn't inhale.
I didn't inhale. He's trying to, like, come up with something.
Yeah, no, you get all the stigma and trouble of actually doing it, but none of the benefits. Come on, you're lying. You're lying.
You inhale.
He could have probably filmed a few episodes in Portugal, where everything's decriminalized.
Where?
Portugal.
Portugal?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's interesting because
am I saying that wrong?
It's pronounced K-Row.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You got me. Bravo.
Hero.
Or is it touche?
Oh, that's French. Very good.
Yes. French for you're behind, you know, touche.
Accent grave. Touche.
That's not accent aigu?
No, aigu's the other way.
But grave was backwards.
Yeah, that's grave. Grave, the serious one.
We don't tolerate the French on this show.
Falls back.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about French.
You apparently know a great deal about French.
Isn't English just French spoken poorly?
You left the Cairo school system screaming, and somehow...
You know, my brother asked me, how do I know all this stuff? All this random trivia about this and that. I'm just like,
I'm asking you. I remember we were talking about Shakespeare. You knew some of the most obscure words that are no longer used.
You give me one.
I'm trying to remember it because it's in Hamlet's famous speech. It's how he carries a dagger, but it's not. It's a guy.
A stiletto.
No, right? No.
Slings and daggers.
No.
We were gonna have a read.
Oh.
Yeah.
Barb.
No.
I,
at any rate, you've absorbed things that even I can't remember, because I have no room left in the sponge.
Oh.
The sponge is dripping. You know, it's all filled up, and if you touch my head, you know, some of the acquired knowledge will appear.
There's also the fact that some people are a sponge and some are more like a rock.
Yes.
To be honest, you have good recall. You could be throwing a lot of facts and you'll retain them. Other people, they probably could retain them, but they don't have the effort. They don't care. They don't put in the brain effort, the work. That is a thing.
And brain effort's a thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your brain uses a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Like, most of the food you eat goes to your brain.
This is the stone speaking, by the way.
Yeah. Stone. This is the rock speaking to you. Can you smell what I'm cooking?
On top of the vertebrae is now telling us how to think. I'm interested now in what RPI bought, which is a quantum computer. They didn't even buy it.
They gave
them a quantum computer.
Yeah, you can't buy them. Somebody has to give it to you.
Yeah,
it's called
Micro Center for it.
System One quantum computer is now in the computing center that used to be a chapel. Is architecturally kind of strange. You go in there and it's 19th century or earlier.
Worship the computer.
Yes, it seems that's
worship the quantum.
And they package it to make it seem like some kind of oracle or great, you know. But it's a quantum computer, so it works differently than a binary computer.
Does it actually work?
Yes, it definitely does. What it does is it's limited by the number of qubits it has. I think it has maybe 40 qubits, not a lot.
That's still pretty good.
But, you know, it's enough to experiment with. So yeah. Everyone's got to come up. They're looking for an algorithm that would be better suited for quantum computing than for classical.
They should talk to Zuckerberg. He's got an algorithm.
We don't want an evil algorithm.
Yeah.
We want a good one.
Well, my joke was all gods chill on god algorithms, but they didn't laugh. I don't know why. But I'm curious about how a quantum computer could be used for music, and I'm trying to come up with the Uncertainty Symphony that's based on the notion that you gotta pick a note, the next note, and it's weighted by an intuition. So if your own thoughts about music are similar to how quantum computers work, maybe you could hear tunes or even orchestral structures coming out of a quantum computer just by virtue of the way it can't make up its mind until you have some kind of recursion. I mean, do you hear music in your head?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
What do you mean by intuition? Digital intuition?
Well, I'm going in with the Roger Penrose thing. You know, the brain consists of indecisive pulses that are determined by the wave function of the quantum wave function. So it can flip either way, and it's a probability. He thinks that maybe it's because very very weak gravitational waves are affecting how we think.
Wow, amazing.
Because the scale in which it's operating is subatomic. The scale in which it's operating is subatomic, so it doesn't take a lot to cause the collapse of the wave function.
But that's... Okay, so you're talking like there's teeny tiny notions making large changes in...
Well...
Basically everything. If you could affect thoughts like that, then you're going to...
Is it a large change?
No, it's a tiny change of which there are many simultaneously happening.
I'm also comfortable with that because...
Does the action potential of a certain set of neurons being fired, is that a large change? Or is it a small change?
It doesn't matter to me. This falls into line with my worldview of no free will whatsoever. So you are governed by the universe.
Well, no, actually, it's uncertainty, and so the randomness of it is not determinative.
That's the only chance in hell you have of having a free will. Yes.
But
you got it.
It's chaos. It's chaos. No, it's there. You can see patterns. But which way it'll go is a matter of chance.
That's a really amazing analogy. That's like carbon uncertainty and silicon uncertainty. There's the connection.
Right, because they're in the same chemical group.
Right.
And can make...
What's below silicon? I forget. Arsenic? No.
Well, technically, carbon is.
Carbon is one up.
Isn't it?
I mean, what's
eight,
below silicon?
Eight valence.
Oh, is it?
Electrons, I think. One below?
Yeah.
Silicone?
It'd be like the next...
take a look at the periodic table.
Order of magnitude in computing or something. Who knows?
Yep. And I was just trying to say that with all that quantum computing, Tom's computer is basically just going to be a digital Florence Foster Jenkins.
A digital what?
Florence Foster Jenkins?
So, Sully, what that... Huh?
Do you know who that is?
No.
She was a singer from the 40s.
Bebop?
No, she was. I don't know what the genre was, but she sang horribly, terribly.
Oh.
But she thought she was awesome, and she was so well promoted that it sort of became a thing to go see the horrible singer Florence, who thinks she's awesome. It was like watching The Room back in the day. Mm. Something so horrible, it's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's another
obscure. That's what I expect your computer to sing like, yes.
That's another obscure reference you just made.
The Room.
How many people actually know what The Room is?
Don't.
I mean...
Don't waste your brain cells on it. The Room is just going to, like... That's what's called negative information. If you look this subject up, you will be dumber than when you started.
Or will you be more intelligent for having seen it? Are you sure?
No. This is a mentally painful movie.
It's okay.
Look, this movie is so absolutely terrible, James Franco had to remake it.
You can learn something from it.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There are midnight movies that are, cult pieces because they're bad.
Yep. Pretty much all
everyone
of
howls with derision because they could do better.
And what?
People are making fools of themselves and they don't realize it. It's very funny. Ha ha ha.
I'm never going to I don't have to hear that name ever again.
People love Neil Breen movies, but
and
they love
be
it
executed.
Because they're intentionally like they seem intentionally bad.
They are.
It's straddling that line of self-awareness.
Like the effects are terrible, like clip art birds.
Oh yeah.
And like
reused footage.
Like really, really like. No, I'm not talking about it anymore. You can. I'm just not.
Good.
That's fine. I got a bag of donuts in front of me.
To
I'm
see
gonna
what
eat
RPI
that.
Does with their qubit, their 40 qubit computer.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. If you have a superimposition composition and you're making the uncertainty symphony, you could have an OR orchestra where it's objective reduction.
I don't know. I think you're more likely to get nonsense out of it or just bad music.
Yeah.
Or
you remember the bebop machine that
I do remember.
Yeah,
yes,
I can't find it. I don't know what happened to it. But
I don't know what happened to it either.
It would sound.
I
like
never
that.
Took it. Maybe it's just still in the makerspace somewhere.
Maybe Greg will find it in the treehouse.
Maybe
that's where I last saw it.
What am I looking for?
It's a little box that makes bebop
with like
sounds.
Four switches or five switches
and knobs, and it was random, and which is what you're suspecting would happen, but. But I worked with a composer named Lars Spiegel, who wrote a program called Music Mouse back in the 80s. And it was very effective in shading which of the harmonic relationships would be brought up next as you moved a mouse across a variety of graphics. And as you crossed two points, it would pick based on in average, it would have a tonic or a fifth or a third, or you know, even a seventh or something weird would pop in every now and then. And while it didn't sound random, when I did it, it didn't sound particularly good. But when Laurie Spiegel played it, and she had written the software that produced it, it ran on a Mac and it ran on an Amiga, it sounded like melodies.
Yeah, I think something like that would still need to be guided by
Laurie Spiegel.
A human hand, human sensibility.
That was a very human hand.
Something like that's just completely random. You'll end up with a microtonal, you know.
Well, it doesn't have to be microtonal because you can pick. For example, I've written music that's all in the pentatonic scale, and so it's no bad notes.
And so, you'd be surprised.
I was going to say.
No, there were no bad notes.
Well, there's still sevenths that you can put into pentatonics. And then they will sound bad.
Well, the probability of a seventh is low enough so that it doesn't really hurt, you know, and that it's weighted in harmony. So that's a good start. But then the probability is something that determines the collapse of the wave function in a quantum computer. And so this superimposition is a way to make a composition by this random selection that favors what we hear in our heads. And you know, I don't know
where you're getting the connection between what it how does it favor what we hear in our heads
from being random,
because what I hear in my head is not random.
No,
I mean it's colored by the various experiences I've had in life. You know, things I've heard before, things that I like.
The opposite, you know, of random.
And a little bit of unexpectedness. I think that's where maybe it would excel, is introducing the unexpected.
And that intuition is still derived from the other compositions that are already in the head.
Sure.
Well, I tend to agree with you, actually. So. I haven't really pursued it, but...
Well, yeah, you have other things going on. Other science to do.
That's true, but when they installed this computer, they were begging people to come up with an algorithm that otherwise that would be a reason to pursue this particular technology, which is at its infancy. And there is a certain element of randomness in the musical genre, because you're only working with 80 notes or 86 notes or something like that.
What about atonal music, like Schoenberg? And
yeah, well, then I run away screaming. That's the thing.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is there's
way more than atonal, too. Like, you got microtonal. Like, other cultures, such as...
quarter tones.
Turkish music has quarter tones and other microtonal. They call them makams instead of scales, where it'll be one tone one way, and then the same note in the makam will be different going down the scale, down in pitch.
Interesting.
Yeah, so things can get interesting. I've listened to some microtonal music, and I actually do like it on occasion.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but atonal music, yeah, that's...
But it doesn't convey an emotion that's based on your prior...
It would take a special person to convey... an emotion through atonal music.
To me, what's going on with atonal, it sort of happened at the same time as, you know, movements in art, like sort of a perception of four dimensions, like cubism. And it was like a cultural thing happening across all the arts and music and math, relativity, physics, probably politics as well.
And I'm going to use this silence to let everybody know that if you want to continue listening to this show, you got to head on over to WGXE.org, click on the Listen button. The tab that pops up will show you all the streams being played by WGXE. We're at the bottom, Thingularity. In a couple of minutes, right at about the top of the hour, we will flip over to the after show. If you remain on the radio listening, you will, or listening to the mainstream, you will hear the next show, which... forgive me, I don't know what's coming up next.
No problem.
Could be the Love Motel. Could be Dim the Lights. I don't know. Usually one of them comes on after us, depending on the time. But, yeah. Head on over to the website if you want to listen to the after show where we go FCC free. But otherwise, things will be drawing to a close officially within about 5 minutes. That's all I had to say. That way we can just fade out talking. Yep. We don't have to do anything. We'll just end when the clock says so.
Or we could put on some atonal music.
Yeah. Or microtonal music. If y'all want to listen to something that I think is probably the best microtonal music that I've ever heard, that isn't necessarily like folk music from Turkey or Northern Africa, I think Brendan Burns is who you want to listen to. He's an interesting electronic musician.
Not Moby.
Not who?
Not Moby.
Moby? Who's Moby?
I think it's awesome you know all that other stuff and then you don't know who Moby is. I really do think that's great.
You told a joke about another DJ?
Mm-hmm.
While we were coming back from the...
That joke was also about Moby.
Oh, God, it is. I was afraid it was going to be the same
guy.
No.
I wanted to know that it just didn't register in your brain and you didn't store it because your brain's working appropriately. Let's just put it that way.
No, I had a sense. There was a heuristic there that was like, is he talking about that same person?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hit the same notes.
Yeah, Brendan Burns.
When I hear Moby, it just triggers Moby Grape, which is some band that no one's heard of except me.
Who the hell's Moby Grape?
We're in the same generation.
Yeah, almost.
You know them?
I don't know them.
You've heard of them?
Biblical sense.
They were a Bay Area band.
I think very few people know any other people in the biblical sense.
It's called getting laid?
Come on now.
I'm just trying to...
It's relatively...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know a lot more people than you've known biblically, Joe.
Well, if you know the ones that got laid by me, they definitely call it biblical. Wow. Sorry, that was just an easy joke.
Good one.
Yeah, that's a show ender right there.
Moby Grape.
Well, this is...
We were talking about music.
Always amazes me, just listening to the stream of consciousness of subjects that we wander around to from, wave functions collapsing to various other things.
Well, on this show, collapsing. They're all related. It's all in the same world.
The world that's inside our heads.
Perceiving the world that's outside of it. Hopefully. Unless you're trapped in the Matrix.
But yeah, unless you suffer from ontological uncertainty.
Existentialism.
Yeah.
Or you're one of those people that's just trapped in your body, almost not a coma, but you're awake.
Well, I guess you could be trapped in your brain, but then the brain is also an artifact of perception. So even that itself is just a construct. If you're going to subscribe to the philosophy of the only thing that's real are perceptions.
Sure.
Well, this
not the things that you're perceiving.
This has been explored in quantum mechanics, and that the observation of a phenomenon determines the resting state of an entangled particle. And so, if you don't observe something, does it exist? If a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound? It's a philosophical equivalent, but the quantum mechanical issue is. Can you have anything that is resolved into a permanent state without making the observation?
No.
And it's this kind of conundrum that has led to...
The answer is no.
He's certain about something here.
I'm certain about the uncertainty.
Yes, he's certain about uncertainty.
When you leave the kitchen, your fridge ceases to exist. It is only a giant pile of probabilities. And when you return to the kitchen... Those probabilities all collapse and are perceived.
That's right, and you open the refrigerator door and there's dead cats or alive cats.
As long as it's not your neighbor.
I'm going to have a cat for dinner one way or another. I'll have to kill the cat maybe.
But only,
okay, Schrodinger.
Only if it's Ben's garage.
Well, it's uncertainties like this that keep me up at
night. Yep, we're gonna poke fun at Ben because he's not here.
Yeah, Ben's taking care of family stuff, so we don't blame him, but we will still definitely poke fun at him.
he's defenseless in his absence.
Yeah, that's what you get for running out on us.
Hey, we got Greg in the meantime, and he's taking us on a journey.
Oh, yeah.
To an eclipse and to atonal music and cubism. And
don't get me started.
About cubism?
So he's the guy to come to for your next soundtrack to the next eclipse. Sounds like.
I don't know. We've got a playlist for you.
I got a mixtape for you. There you go.
Yep. Does it exist?
It's nothing but throat singing.
Well, that's the unanswered question, because if you can't hear it, it still might exist because it's just a cassette that you're holding in your hands. And that cassette has music in it, even if you can't hear it. Well, it's the top of the hour, and now I can remind Brian that he said shit, and he didn't even mean it. And if he listens to his voice on...